So, I'm Laura Griggs. I'm the lay leader here at Providence. And once a year, I'm told there is a Laity Sunday. I get told which Sunday it is and say, Laura, you're on. Okay. And this year, Pastor Derek gave me the subject, which was prayer. Important subject. Not one I probably would have picked for myself because I really don't see myself as being a really terrific prayer warrior. There are several really terrific prayer warriors out there, and I appreciate them very much. But, you know, you do what you got to do, and God really does want to hear from all of us, whether you're a really good at it or not. Prayer, 90% of the time, prayer is a very personal thing. Every now and then, though, we sometimes get asked to pray in a group, and you seize up and go, oh, don't ask me. Don't ask me. I don't know what to say. And I see that a lot in different classes where I say, would anyone like to close us in prayer? And everyone's like, okay. Don't ask me. Don't look at me. How many of you here would rather give your right arm than be where I am right now this morning? Yeah, I see a few hands. Yes. I know. I understand. Some of that is the fear of public speaking. And I know that that is a big, big fear for some people. Happens to be, it's not one of my problems. I can kind of blather on, but hopefully we'll have something important to say for you today. So, building on what I said with the kids, prayer is important. It is our conversation with God. And when you give of yourself and you make it very personal, that's going to be impressive. That's what God wants to hear. He doesn't need to hear fancy words. In fact, Jesus tells us about that in Matthew 6, verses 7 to 8. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So be yourself. God isn't impressed with fancy words or perfectly precise poetry. He just wants to hear you. Maybe you think sometimes, what does God want to hear from me? We're talking God Almighty. Who am I compared to God Almighty? But and he already knows everything in my heart. Do you think that sometimes? You think, why do I need to pray? He already knows. Well, that's true. He does. But just like I was talking about with the kids, when you want to hear from your children, because you know at that time, you just want to hear from them. You know they love you. But isn't it wonderful to have someone that you know loves you tell you that? You want to hear it from them because at that time, you know they are thinking of you, and that's mighty powerful all in and of itself. So the first thing about prayer that impresses God is practice, getting into the usual routine, making that part of your normal life. It's just like everything else. The more you do it, the better you get at it. The more you pray, the more it will become more and more comfortable, more and more natural. And ultimately, you will feel closer to God. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Think about the Luke scripture that Daniel read about. He started talking about this woman who was bothering a judge for justice. And she kept at it until he was like, oh, I just want to get her off my back. But God loves us. And so if there's something that's really strong in your heart that you need God's help with, keep after it. Keep after it, and he's going to respond even more so than that judge who just saw her as a bother. You're not a bother. You're a child of God. So maybe you need to think, here's another problem that keeps us from practicing prayer regularly. We think, I got this. I'm in charge of my life. I know what I'm going to do today and tomorrow, and I've got things pretty well handled. And yeah, there's some issues that come up, but I can handle it. That's the kind of person that does not pray, right? That's the kind of person that says, I don't need God. We've got to get over that. The part where you decide, you know what? I'm going to go to God Almighty because he's going to make a difference in this. And I don't have it all together. And it's time. I'm to go to God with this, and I'm going to turn it over to Him and have Him tell me what I should be doing next. That is, now you're getting towards the faith of prayer, and that's mighty impressive to God, all right? He's saying, oh, Laura, you finally decided that you can't do everything yourself. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. So think about that the next time you think, oh, I just don't want to bother God with this. Remember, it's not going to be a bother. So let's see. What did Jesus say most often to the people that he healed? He said, your faith has made you well. Or when people were asking Jesus to help someone else, like, I've got a son at home that is near death. Can you help him, please? And Jesus would say, because of your faith, what you've asked for will come true. Look it up. It's in there. He says that many, many times. So faith is the next thing. Practice faith. Having faith in your prayer. Faith that it's going to make a difference. Faith is the megaphone that gets your prayer heard. I came up with that myself. Really, though, if you're saying, does God really hear me? Well, how much faith are you putting into your prayer? If you're putting a lot of faith in it, then yes, his ear is wide open and he's listening and he's being impressed. So, let's turn to Psalms for some ideas. Not that you have to quote Psalms with your prayers every, but hey, whatever works for you is good. But Psalms can be an especially good place to start. I tell a lot of people that go through my disciple classes, the book of Psalms is like the Hebrews' top 40. That is really for them, it's like their hymnal. The book of Psalms was their book of songs and prayers. So many Hebrews throughout the centuries would go there first when they needed some help with how to word something to God. Let's look at Psalm 100. This is when you've got someone who is very happy and they just want to praise God. And that's a good way to start. So Psalm 100, verses 1 through 3. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. His love endures forever. Meditate on that for a moment, and your praise prayer will become pretty easy. Okay, but things are not always sunshine and rainbows, are they? What about when things are bad, you're hurting, or someone in your family's hurting? Can you praise God even amidst the hurting? That's tougher. That's a tougher one. Let's look at Psalm 69, verses 29 to 32. But as for me, afflicted and in pain, may your salvation, God, protect me. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horn and hooves. The poor will see and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts live. Do you seek God even in the tough circumstances? That's very impressive to God. Very impressive. That's hard to do. I'm impressed. So what if you're frustrated or you're even angry? Should we be angry and let God know we're angry with him? Yes. That he wants to hear that too. He's not there just to hear the good stuff. Bring it on. He's big enough to handle it. So if we look at Psalm 12, the writer of Psalm 12 starts out with all so much frustration about liars and oppressive people. Psalm 12, 1 through 5, help, Lord, for no one is faithful anymore. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. Everyone lies to their neighbor, and they flatter with their lips but harbor deception in their hearts. May the Lord silence all flattering lips and every boastful tongue. Those who say, by our tongues we will prevail. Our own lips will defend us. Who is Lord over us? Because the poor are plundered and the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. So that psalmist starts out very frustrated. Frustrated with everything. Do you think the world has gotten into a bad state? Today? Yeah. I'm mighty frightened about the way things are going at the moment. Take it to God. We can be frustrated with God. But the important thing is he ends that psalm with faith that God is going to do something about it. Goes back to the widow who's bothering that judge, doesn't it? If we keep bothering God, but it's not a bother, going to God and saying we need justice and we need to see the world become a better place, he's going to hear us. So now let's turn to King David out of the Old Testament. He was known as the greatest king of Israel. He started out, remember him with the slingshot and Goliath? Even as a young boy, he was something else. And he became a wonderful, great, great king. But there was a point in his life when he did something really stupid. Really, really bad. And he didn't, at the time, didn't even realize it. It took his prophet Nathan coming out to him and explaining to David what he had done and how bad it really, really was before David even recognized that he was in big trouble. So what do you do in that point? Okay, David was in big trouble. This is the kind of thing, you go back and read your Bibles, okay? 2 Samuel and in Chronicles, it's going to tell you what he did. He knew that this was bad enough that God might decide, David doesn't deserve to be king anymore. This is real bad. So David writes Psalm 51, and I'm going to read a few verses here, 4 and 10 and 16 and 17. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise. So that brings us to humility. We need to be humble when we go to God. Jesus tells another story of a Pharisee and a poor person coming into a synagogue to pray. The Pharisee is like, oh, I am just the best of the best. I give a great big tithe every week or every month, and I come in all dressed up. God, look at me. Look at me. I'm dressed up just right for you. And I am so glad I'm not like this guy over here. He came to the tabernacle in rags. He probably maybe gave a penny compared to my wealth that I gave. Just look at him over there. He even smells bad. And then the other guy, Jesus is explaining, this other man comes in and he says, oh, Lord, I am so sinful. I am so bad and I don't deserve anything from you, much less forgiveness. But I ask for it anyway, God, because I hear you're a loving God. I hear you're forgiving. God, just please help me, help my soul, forgive my sins, and I will praise you to everyone I meet. So Jesus is saying, which one is God listening to? Is he going to be impressed with that Pharisee with his fancy clothes and his great big money? Or is he going to be impressed with the guy that says, I am a sinner and I need your help? So that makes it different. That makes a big difference. Maybe you've wanted to talk to God, but you have no idea what to say. You are so sad or so desperate or so beaten down. Or you feel like you've screwed up so bad like David did. Or maybe you're just tongue-tied. I just don't know what to say, God. No words. Well, Paul tells us what should happen in that situation. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Well, that made me feel better when I read that. Because sometimes I'm like, you know, I'm supposed to pray. My prayers are supposed to be in line with the will of God, but sometimes I have no idea what that is. So that's the time that the Holy Spirit will take over and help and pray for us and intercede for us. So sometimes maybe your prayer is going to be, God, I don't know what to say. Send the Holy Spirit and help me know what to say and what it is that I should be talking to you about. That's okay too. That's fine too. You're taking on, you're having faith in the Holy Spirit, and you're being humble enough to know, I don't have all the answers, God. That's why I'm coming to you in the first place. Does prayer change anything? I want to hear again. Does prayer change anything? Yes. It does. It really does. Now, you might think, is God going to listen to you? But the Bible tells us over and over again He does. We are reminded in James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That sounds like something's going on there. But don't get the word righteous mixed up with self-righteous. All right, I need to go on a tangent here for just a minute. Self-righteous means thinking you are totally correct and morally superior. Now, I don't think God's going to care for that very much. Neither do the people around you. They're not going to want to deal with anyone that's like that. We can't be coming to prayer that way. Being truly righteous means being right with God. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. No, none of us are perfect. But at least we're on the right track to be right with God. And that's what righteous means. And that's what James meant. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So we've got practice and faith and humility. Practice. Paul tells us to pray continually. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not that good at praying all the time. At work and while I'm doing the dishes and the laundry and I'm driving. Oh, goodness. Okay, so none of us are so good at that, but we will work towards that. Let's start with at least a daily check-in. And I recommend that you do that early in the morning at the start of your day so that your prayer is looking forward and not always backward. Just a tip from me. Faith. Why would we even try to pray to God if we don't have the faith that there is a God and the faith that God is able to do something about it? So when you go to prayer, you've got to already know that it's worth doing, right? Or why are you going to pray in the first place? And you've got to have faith that God will make a difference with whatever you're bringing to Him. And humility. Why in the world would anybody go to God boastfully, thinking that they're already good and they already deserve God's grace and blessings? I don't think that's going to go over very well either. All right, we've got to come to God with a humble and contrite heart. Recognize that we are so far from perfect, it's ridiculous. An attitude of humility will go a long way with God. So if you practice prayer consistently and approach God with faith and humility, you will impress Him, and He will hear you. Let's speak to God together right now. We're going to start with the Lord's Prayer. If you don't have it memorized, it's on the front of your bulletin. And before we get to the Amen, we're going to stop, and everyone has a time personally for you to speak to God. Okay? Let's go. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Wait, not amen yet, God. Your children here have a message for you. It might be a message of praise and thanksgiving. It might be a message of help God with this particular problem. Or I'm just frustrated with the world. Whatever it may be, God, right now, listen to the prayers of your children. Lord, thank you for loving us so much that you hear our prayers. You are so much bigger and mightier than each of us. But together we pray to you and we love you and we know that you will make a difference in our world. Your will be done. Thank you for all the many blessings you pour out on us every day and help each of us to share your love, share your blessings with everyone we encounter. And Lord, when we tell people, I will pray for you, help us to do that well, with humility, with faith, and with often practice. And help us to be the best that we can be for you. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.